Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. They use the same 5G network, same cell towers as the big carriers, and most families saving close to $1,000 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HomeTitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. All right, thanks, Scott Shannon, and thanks to all of you. Our toll-free number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. You know, I'm some of you are involved in this little pity party, you know, state of mind. You need to snap out of it. You really need to snap out of it. And I'm serious. You've got to understand there is an ebb. There is a flow to election cycles. Sometimes there's no reason why, wherefore. But in this case, I think there's going to be a lot of lessons to be learned and a review that will take place. And I think some changes need to be made, and they will be made. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this today. Linda, think about this. I started my radio career in 1987. Ronald Reagan was president. You weren't even born yet, were you?
That's correct.
What year were you born?
What did I tell you about asking ladies their age? You got a real problem with this.
So I do not have a problem with this. It's just that it's good fun watching you bubble and fizz like Alka-Seltzer in water.
That's right.
So Reagan was president when I got into radio. And by the way, there were people, that radio station I started at, they hated my guts because I like Ronald Reagan. Oh, my gosh. Went through one term of Bush 41. And then in 92 was the election of Bill Clinton. I just finished a stint in Huntsville, Alabama, and in October of 92, and I left in October of 96 in Atlanta. I had 4 great years there. By the way, when I left Alabama, the local paper editorialized goodbye to the talk show host from hell. When I left Atlanta, they had a year-end edition in 1996. 1996 was a good year for 2 reasons. The Olympics came and Hannity left. Should I have a complex over that? I don't know. Maybe it's a badge of honor. But anyway, so, you know, then there's the election of Bill Clinton in 92? And he's president to 2000. But in the interim there, I'm in Georgia, and I'm the MC on the night of 1994. Republicans have been out of power. Imagine this, out of the House. They did not have control of the House of Representatives for 40 long years. That's like 40 years in the wilderness. Something about the years, 40 years. And sure enough, it was one of the most exciting nights of my life. I was emceeing Newt Gingrich's event at the Cobb Galleria. And it was just an incredible time, an incredible night, an incredible wave election. A lot of it in reaction to Bill Clinton, who went hard left when his first 2 years as president. He then moderated his views quite a bit, actually. You know, the era of big government is over and the end of welfare as we know it. And we actually achieved Newt Gingrich with Clinton as part of it. They got us to a balanced budget using Congressional Budget Office numbers, and we had great success for the country. And it ended up being fine. Then, of course, in 96, I moved to the Fox News Channel. And that's the year that Clinton gets reelected. Then we get to 2000. And 2000, it's Bush v. Gore. And you talk about an election mess. I mean, you know, hanging, swinging, dimpled, pimpled, perforated, you know, chads, and the count goes on until December and the Supreme Court rules. Even to this day, you know, nobody can say with any certainty that 537 votes was what separated George W. Bush from Al Gore. But a very contentious time. The Supreme Court gets involved. They use the equal protection argument, which I thought was kind of weak myself, to be honest, but it is what it is. We needed somebody to win someplace somehow. And that's how it panned out. Anyway, so you have that election mess. And sure enough, George W. Bush gets inaugurated. Then 9/11 2001 happens. Now America's on a war footing. The country is in the middle of this, you know, war against terrorism. And 2004 was a tough re-election. I'll never forget that election day. The election, the exit polls came out that showed that John Kerry was going to be the next president of the United States. I remember this radio program. We got a call from Dick Cheney, got off a plane, lands, reads the exit polls, called into the show and said, the exit polls had projected that Bush and Cheney would lose Florida and they would lose Ohio. Well, they won both those states. The exit polls were wrong, and they were wrong by a lot. And you know, so on and so forth. Then in 2008, he got the election of Barack Obama. I didn't think John McCain ran a particularly good campaign. And it became somewhat inevitable. He was the anointed one. And a lot of, you know, hype in the country, and everyone loves Obama, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the guy had no experience. Nobody vetted him. We vetted him, and we didn't win that election. But then 2 years later, what happened? It was the rise of the Tea Party, and the Tea Party had a profound impact on the political landscape in this country. And I felt in 2012 that was a winnable year. I thought that Obama could have been beaten. And after the first debate, I thought Mitt Romney had it. I thought he'd win that race. And then he took his foot off the gas and just laid down for the next two debates. Wherever that advice came from, it was a disaster. Then 2016, we have the election of Donald Trump. Then here we are, 2020. We have Biden, putting aside, you know, the FBI putting their thumbs on the scale of both those elections, something we'll get to in a minute. So a lot happens in the country. And there's an ebb and flow to political cycles. And yeah, I would have preferred Herschel Walker win over the radical Raphael Warnock. I don't blame Herschel. I thought some people are saying he wasn't a good candidate. Now, one of the things you got to look at, you got to make adjustments. Look at what football teams do. You talk to coaches as they're going into the locker room at halftime, and a sideline reporter will ask a coach, okay, what do you think of what happened in the first half? Well, we got to make some adjustments on defense. Clearly, we're not stopping the run game. We've got to do a better job on offense. You know, obviously, we had too many penalties, whatever it happens to be. And they go in the locker room, and they're like, all right, you guys need to admit that Republicans in some of these races could have picked better candidates. I'll give you one example, and I like Doug Mastriano. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not singling him out. However, there's no doubt that Pennsylvania is a purple state. That's all there is to it. And he ran with no exceptions in light of the Dobbs decision, which it turns out that abortion was a much bigger issue on the ballot than anybody had anticipated, including me. But anyway, when you make no than any other gubernatorial candidate in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania history since the 1940s, it was so out of touch with the people of the state. And that then impacted the entire ticket. He loses by, 14 points? Then you needed a whole bunch of ticket, you know, switching where people would vote for Shapiro for governor and then go to Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz, you know, he only lost by 2.5, but there's only so much ticket splitting you're going to get in any one race. So, you know, you've got to have some better candidates. Tudor Dixon, if you're in the state of Michigan, You better make exceptions when it comes to abortion, or at least send it to the state legislature, or put a referendum on the ballot, or find a way to get out of it somehow.
if you are rigidly pro-life, politically speaking. I'm not talking about the moral aspect of it. So those are things that we can learn from this. But I'll tell you one of the biggest things Republicans need to take away from what happened yesterday and 2022 in general. And number one, you can't forget the victory. The winning of the House is massive. And it's the same amount, it's the same margin that Nancy Pelosi had in the last Congress. And we saw the damage that they could do. Republicans now have charge of the committees. They now have the power of the purse. They now have the power to subpoena. We're going to get real investigations into the Bidens, and it will be an investigation into Joe Biden and influence peddling. And I believe the evidence now is growing every day, and it will be overwhelming, and it will be incontrovertible. We'll also have an investigation into the FBI, especially into their influence in the last two elections, and I'll get into that in a little bit, too. But I think that, you know, until Republicans, and I don't know why this is the case. It's not the case in Florida. In Florida, look, Florida's had its election problems. They had problems in 2000. They had to fix those problems. And they did. They went with another system. They fixed the problems in 2016. And now they're at the point where they can count 7.5 million votes in a couple of hours. You know the winner, and there's integrity in the system. And Republicans in Florida are not reluctant. They're not resisting voting by mail. They're not resisting voting early in Florida. And they have checks and balances. They have signature verification. They have voter ID that must be included in even mail-in ballots. So the system has integrity to it, and the Republicans there are using the system. But if you look at a lot of these other states, Pennsylvania, I don't think one vote should be cast unless and until they have all the debates finished. And, you know, same thing in a lot of these other states. My system would be simple. It would be make Election Day a national holiday, have voter ID, signature verification, have paper ballots, have partisan observers watch the voting in every precinct all day. And then when the polls close, they watch the vote counting all night. That's simple. But we don't have that system. That's the system we wish we had. That's the system we can have if we elect Republican governors and Republican state legislators, and they buy into the simpler system. We have not the one that we wish we had. You can't start Election Day. I knew going into Election Day yesterday, because I'd been looking online, looking at the early voting, doing an analysis after analysis, talking to all my friends in Georgia, and the consensus was that Herschel started out yesterday, and he was down, and yet he won Election Day voting by 230,000. The problem is that number is too big a number to assume that you're going to get your voters out, especially if it's a rainy day or there's a call for rain, and win. So my admonition to the Republicans, and what do I know? I'm not even a registered Republican. I'm a registered conservative. Is whatever the Democrats are doing with early voting, whatever they're doing, you need to at least match what they're doing, preferably do it better than they're doing. And you better accept the fact that this resistance and this reluctance not to go along with the system you're stuck with is not working well for you. You have to accept that and pick the best candidates that you believe can win in the respective states that you're running in. Some states that are purple are not going to accept a gubernatorial candidate that's going to have a say. So, you know, you have, if you're down hundreds of thousands of votes on Election Day and Republicans continue to resist the system that exists, not the one you wish existed, you're going to continue to pay a price. I'm not that bummed out by this. I am happy Republicans have the House. And I think from this point, Republicans, if they make these adjustments, they'll do fine, but they got to understand what they're dealing with. And up to this point, they've not accepted that reality, or at least too many people have not accepted that reality. Look at what they're doing in Florida. Look at what they're doing in other states that are running. Definitely need voter ID and signature verification. And then hopefully you elect state legislatures and governors that will put in a better voting system, one with more integrity, so you have full confidence in the results. But, you know, not playing on the same ball field, that's not going to work. Anyway, listen, I want you in these tough economic times to save as much money as possible. That's where our friends at Pure Talk come in, a veteran-owned company. For example, you can get talk, unlimited talk, text, and blazing close to $1,000 a year. Some families are saving much, much more than that. That's real money in your pocket. You get the exact same cell towers, the exact same 5G network. You get the same number of bars in terms of coverage on your phone. You keep your phone, you keep your phone number. How do I know? I'm a customer. You're going to love this company. They got the best customer service of any company you'll deal with. It's simple to make the switch. Just dial #250 on your cell phone. Say the keyword, save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword save now from our friends at Pure Talk, and they'll switch over in a matter of minutes. And do it. Put the money in your pocket for the exact same service.
Sean Hannity talks to the people involved in the top stories of the day. Every day, Sean Hannity is on.
Is on.
What? I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of them has to do with ballot harvesting and voter ID laws. Ballot harvesting, by the way, or ballot collection is allowed in a number of states, but often comes with restrictions over who can take the ballot. 25 states and D.C. have laws allowing the voter to have someone of their choosing return the ballot. 11 states have laws that allowing certain people, family members, for example, to return ballots on a voter's behalf. Alabama is the only state that explicitly says the voter must return the ballot themselves. The only one. 13 states did not have any specific rules regarding ballot harvesting collection. 16 states do not have voter ID laws. 16. And anyway, the states allowing voters to select someone to return the ballot, you know, this is one of these items that I don't think Republicans are paying attention to. And what I'm seeing emerging is Democrats, they're not really into the campaigning. I'm the better candidate. I have the better vision, pressing the flesh, holding rallies. They tend to hide in the basement, avoid debates, avoid the press. And their whole team seems to be focused on ballots and only ballots and how to get ballots in the hands of the people they think are going to vote for them. This is where Republicans need to play the same game to make it a level playing field.
Get your dose of independence and liberty every weekday right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. So all these states with the ballot collection, ballot harvesting, ballot collection, whatever you want to call it, I was surprised when I looked this up today. I didn't know how many states actually had it, but it's just another area where I think the Republicans are behind the eight ball in terms of, I think the Democrats are playing a ballot game. I think the game has changed. It's modernized. They're taking full advantage. They're running campaigns totally differently now. You know, Katie Hobbs wasn't out running rallies, answering the press, pressing the flesh, taking selfies, signing autographs, shaking hands, kissing babies. And neither was John Fetterman. And neither was Joe Biden, for that matter. And so that old model, that, look, I still believe in that part of it. I think it's an important part. People get to know you, like you, understand your values, want to champion your cause. But I think the Democratic game has been avoid debates, avoid the media, hide in the basement, and get your team out there. And 25 states have laws allowing voters to have someone on their choosing return their ballots. 11 states have laws only allowing family members to return ballots. Alabama, the only state that says the voter themselves must return the ballot. 13 states don't have specific rules regarding ballot harvesting or collection. 16 states don't have voter ID laws. I mean, so that's the system as it exists. And what I'm saying is that I think Republicans, especially 2020, changed everything. Democrats dug in deeper, you know, knowing that if it was more now about a ballot game. And that's why if Republicans on Election Day, if they remain reluctant, resistant to voting early or to mailing in their ballots, which I'm the first to say, it's not my system. Don't blame me for the system. I told you what my system is. My system is national holiday, election day, day of voting, make exceptions for the military. People can apply for an absentee ballot. They're going to be out of the country, out of their state, sick, infirmed, elderly, whatever. Short of that is everybody goes on election day. They vote paper ballot and signature verification and voter ID. And you have partisan observers watching the voting all day in every precinct and partisan observers watching the vote counting after the polls close. That's simple. Now, there's one last thing that Republicans better keep an eye on for the future, too. And I don't know anyone else that's talking about it, but I actually dug deeper today to get more numbers. My Cracker Jack staff was helping me with all of this. And that is what I'm calling accelerated migration. And that it's really simple. You have two events, I think, that are the cause for the acceleration. One is I think that people just got fed up living in states like Michigan and New York and Pennsylvania and other states that had draconian measures as it relates to COVID and no in-person learning for their kids, coupled with the fact that baby boomers, they're sick and tired of high taxes, burdensome regulation, COVID lockdowns and restrictions, and they're looking at states like the Carolinas and Tennessee and Florida and Texas, and they're saying, you know what, there are better options. So we see this migration that is now happening. For example, you know, inbound migration to Michigan is 48%, outbound is 52%. You know, if you look at the last year, you know, they lost from 2020 to 2021, they lost, you know, nearly 20,000 residents left the state. Not a lot, but a significant amount. And I would venture a guess, most of these people that are moving to red states, they're moving and they're because the political values they don't like in their current states. They tend to be more conservative. That's why Florida's grown by leaps and bounds. Look at New York, for example. Only 42% inbound and 58% outbound. In other words, 58% of, in terms of migration from New York, 58% of people are leaving and only 42% are coming in. I mean, it's pretty dramatic. And they lost 320,000 people in the state of New York just from 2020 to 2021. You look at party affiliation, for example, in New York, you've got, you know, Democrats at 6,400,000 and Republicans at 2,800,000. It's not a state Republicans are going to win. Pennsylvania has a net outbound of 51%, inbound 49%. They're not leaving Pennsylvania in the big numbers like they are California and New York, but they're still leaving. And, you know, they're losing a net population. And that population, I would argue, again, is conservative. You want to know why Pennsylvania is a hard state for Republicans to win? Well, if you look at registration this year alone, Democrats have 4 million people registered as Democrats. Republicans have 3.4 million. That's a significant difference. If you look at Wisconsin, they're actually one of the few that are dead even, 50% inbound, 50% outbound. They actually gained 3,585 people from 2020 to 2021. Look at California. They're just the exact same number as New York, 58%. Of people migrating or migrating outbound from California. They're leaving. Only 42% inbound. And if you look at the net loss population for 1 year, 2020 to 2021, it's 261,000 people. That's a lot. You want to talk about Democrats? All right, there are 10 million registered Democrats out in California, only 5 million Republicans registered out in California. Now you look at a state like Florida. What's happening in Florida? 56% inbound and only 44% outbound. Florida, by the way, in the last, you know, they have experienced a 14.6% total growth in population from the census from 2010 to 2020. Net increase in population last year alone, over 200,000 people. If you look at voter registration, 2016, Democrats outnumbered Republicans. Now Republicans are up by, they have 5,200,000. Democrats have 4,900,000. I mean, that's a dramatic difference. Tennessee, people are moving to Tennessee. 55% are inbound, 45% outbound. They've had, in the last census, nearly a 9% growth in population. That's dramatic. In 2020 to 2021, 55,000 additional people moved to Tennessee. In Texas, 55% inbound. They're moving into Texas, 45% outbound. And if you look at the change, that's a 15.9% increase in population. They took on in 1 year an additional 310,000 people last year. In South Carolina, same thing, 56% inbound, 44% outbound. You know, if you look, they gained 60,000 people in 1 year last year, 10.7% growth since the last census. If you look at Arizona and Nevada, I have a little different take on it. And that is, both states have, what, in the case of Arizona, 54% inbound. In the case of Nevada, it's 53%. And if you look at the population growth, it's 12% in Arizona, 15% in Nevada. Nevada's increased in a year 30,000 people, almost 100,000 in Arizona. The problem is a lot of those people in Arizona and Nevada are coming from California. And you know what? The odds are 2-1 that they're likely Democrats. So that's why that state is impacted. If you look at North Carolina, what do I say? Everyone's leaving states like Michigan and New York and California and Pennsylvania, and they're going to these other states. What does this mean? Why am I going through all of this? North Carolina, 55% inbound. They've had a 10% population growth since the last census. Last year alone, they added an additional 94,000 residents in the state of North Carolina. I mean, and in that state, by the way, it's almost dead even in terms of party registration. You know, Democrats have 2.4 million, Republicans 2.2 million. So it makes sense when you're looking at the voting. Why am I saying all this? Because pretty soon, if this continues, we're going to have a math problem. What is the math problem? How do you get to 270? In other words, okay, we don't have to worry about Florida. We don't have to worry about Ohio anymore. But now Pennsylvania, which was already hard for a Republican to win, is getting harder. By the way, they're not moving to Georgia and anywhere near the numbers. They're moving to the Carolinas and Tennessee and Florida. So, you know, that's still a hard state, obviously, to win. Then you've got Michigan and Wisconsin. Michigan almost seems like a lost cause at this point, but Wisconsin definitely is not. Hopefully, that's a state Republicans can continue to win. I would think the hardworking people of Pennsylvania are going to get sick of this radicalism in their state. I don't think it represents their values. So that's where we are in terms of analysis. Things, a good starting point, if you will, of where to learn, in my opinion, and analyze and where improvements can be made. Listen, I want to switch gears here, and I want to go back to the Twitter issue and this James Baker side of this issue. So James Baker, remember, he was the guy, general counsel at the FBI. Yesterday, he was fired by Twitter, by Elon Musk. He worked as the general counsel first at the FBI, then the general counsel of Twitter. All right. He was also, by the way, the Clinton campaign's go-to contact at the FBI. Baker eagerly fielded, you might recall, calls from the Clinton attorney, Michael Sussman, who even talked to him about a job, who plied him with phony information about Donald Trump and Russia, etc. Now, Jonathan Turley, to quote him, he said, Baker has been featured repeatedly in the Russian investigations launched by the Justice Department, including the hoax involving the Russia Alpha Bank nonsense. And Baker was also reportedly responsible for disseminating the dirty Russian dossier of Hillary Clinton to the press, passing it off as legitimate material. By 2018, Baker was under criminal investigation for leaking, forced out of the FBI, and of course, deep state members never get the same justice system as Republicans. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, so first he was a legal analyst at fake news CNN, then he moves over to Twitter and becomes their deputy counsel. Anyway, but then we discovered through this whole process of releasing information and in terms of Twitter covering up and censoring and favoring the Democratic Party and being involved in election interference, to quote Elon Musk, he was the guy that was making the decisions, we find out, behind the scenes. According to Turley, you know, he maintained non-public channels with the Biden campaign and later the Biden White House. The run-up to the 2020 election, he was at least partially responsible for Twitter censoring the Hunter Biden laptop story. Writing in a company memo, quote, "It is reasonable for us to assume that Hunter may have been hacked, the Hunter Biden laptop, and this caution is warranted." But even the initial release of information and documents showed that Twitter said that's not going to hold. They didn't believe that. The FBI had this for 9 months. The FBI could have easily have confirmed this was Hunter's laptop. There was obviously allegations by Hunter himself, implications that his own father was benefiting from this influence peddling and this family syndicate that Hunter's involved in, making millions from countries with no experience, enemy countries of the U.S. like China. By the way, this is going to be a massive story come January. I guarantee you it is going to be massive. Anyway, it's meanwhile, in the days and weeks that followed, then we find out that the FBI, who had Hunter Biden's laptop for 11 months, did nothing with it, started meeting weekly with all of these big tech companies, warning them that there might be outside interference or attempts at outside interference and information that is going to be disseminated that is going to be false. And some of it may involve Hunter Biden, just so you know. And they put the scare, they put the pressure on all of these companies so they wouldn't report it. And now they knew that Rudy Giuliani had it, meaning the laptop, and they knew the New York Post had it. So they knew it was coming, and yet they wanted these companies to be on the lookout for this. Anyway, so the FBI had it since 2019. They knew it was real. They knew it wasn't Russian disinformation, but that's not what they were telling these big tech companies. And I would argue, I'd like to know if Jim Baker knew it as well. I would assume he probably did. It was censored all over Twitter and by every other big tech company. And it had an impact. Despite all of this, anyway, Jim Baker somehow still was gainfully employed until yesterday. And not only was Baker working at Twitter, but he was the attorney personally reviewing and approving the initial batch of files that were released by journalists Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss, who's part of this investigation. And that's all part of Elon Musk's transparency efforts. Taibbi said, quote, "Over the weekend, while we both dealt with obstacles to new searches, it was Barry." And Weiss said, "My jaw hit the floor." Short time later, Musk fired Baker after calling Jim's explanation for the whole ordeal unconvincing. I mean, this is two presidential elections in a row where the FBI is putting their thumbs on the scale. Now, that's something on top of things Republicans can do proactively. This is something that has to happen as a country, because now we're dealing with the law and the Constitution. Now we're dealing with election interference, to quote Elon Musk. That's a whole separate issue.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear, because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.